Good morning. I'm coming. Fair, firm, and consistent. Wow, I'll take this on the road. That's all I got. Fair, firm, and consistent. I'll make a killing. Timing is everything. Yeah. Fair, firm, and consistent. My father has many phrases, many mantras. And fair, firm, and consistent is a mantra that I have heard, I'm not going to say too many times because that wouldn't be nice. But I've heard it aplenty. Fair, firm, and consistent. And it's really rooted in his work as an administrator in the school system. Most often, for many years, he was in charge of discipline. Okay? So he was the assistant principal you had to go see. Praise be to God in his divine providence that we never were in the same building. Okay, so he was in the high school, and in the year that I moved in, he moved out, and they gave him a county car and said, "Get out of here. We don't want y'all in the same building." And fair, firm, and consistent seems to be a pretty good philosophy, right? You want to be fair. You want to treat the students fairly. You want it to be just, right? If someone has misbehaved in any particular fashion, whether they were you know cheating on a test or misbehaving in the hallway, or beat somebody up in the cafeteria, you want to be fair. Yet you want to be firm, right? You don't want to be wishy-washy. You can't be pushed around, right? You've got to be firm. But most of all, I think you need to be consistent. Because if you're inconsistent in the discipline that you invoke, then you're guilty of favoritism. And that's not good. And this morning, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 20. The parable of the vineyard workers. And I want us to think about fair, firm, and consistent. Fair, firm, and consistent. I will go ahead and tell you, I'm going to read this morning's text actually twice. But I'm going to use two different translations. One is going to be from the Holman translation. The other is going to be from the Living Bible. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers on one denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 in the morning, he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. to those men, he said, you also go to my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right, whatever is fair, some translations will say. So they went off. About noon and at three, he went out again and did the same thing. About five, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one hired us. You also go into my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his foreman, call the workers and give them their pay, starting with the last and ending with the first. When those who were hired, about five, came and they received one denarius. When they received it, when the first ones came, they assumed that they would get more, but they also received a denarius each. When they received it, they began to complain to the landowner, these last men put in 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who bore the burden of the day and the burning heat. He replied, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me on one denarius? Take what's yours and go. I want to give this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to with my money? It is my business. Are you jealous because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Fair, firm, and consistent. The landowner seems to be fair. He didn't cheat anybody. He made a deal with those first people, right? And then he told the second group, and the second and third group, I'll give you what's fair. There's no mention of any particular monetary value, even to the last group. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Imagine if this were to happen in today's world. I'm going to give you a second just to think about it. Social media blow up. Somebody has caught it on camera, and somebody's posting all sorts of little tweets and Instagrams and Snapchats and TikToks and what have you. Because there is certainly some economic injustice going on in this parable, is there not? Right? Equal pay for equal work. It ain't happening here, is it? Mm-mm, no, not at all. You know, if I were the guy who went out early in the morning, I'd be a little upset myself. Does he have a right to be upset? Maybe. He has a right to be upset, I guess. But so does the landowner have the right to be generous. Fair, firm, and consistent. The landowner was firm. He won't be wishy-washy. Oh, no. And he was consistent. Everybody got paid the same. You know, as I prepared for today, I couldn't help but think that it certainly seems that so many people that work the hardest are paid the least. Am I right? Think about this. Now, I love work, okay? And I love getting dirty, but I like getting paid too. And everybody out there, I think, is going to agree with me on this point, okay? You can disagree with whatever, but I know you're on this with me, okay? Now, I mean, I love getting out, you know. I can dig a trench better than most anybody with my hands. I have a master's degree in water flow because I got to get the water off the field. Every year I dig some sort of trench, and I enjoy it. But in the world we live, it just seems like the people that have to work the hardest are paid the least. And that doesn't seem fair. So let's talk for a moment about the value of the currency, just for a moment. So the text I read said denarius. It could be drachma. Some texts will say, okay? Listen. Here is another illustration of the kingdom of heaven. Here is another illustration of the kingdom of heaven. The owner of an estate went out early in the morning to hire workers for his harvest field. He agreed to pay them $20 a day, and he sent them out to work. A couple of hours later, he was passing a hiring hall and saw some men standing around waiting for jobs. So he went to them and he said, "Go into my fields," telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. At noon and again about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that evening, he was in town again and he saw some of the men standing around and he's like, "Well, why haven't you been working?" "Because no one hired us." Then he says, "Go on out into my fields." That evening, he told the paymaster to call the men in and pay them, beginning with the last men first. When the men hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received $20. So the men hired earlier came to get theirs. They assumed they would receive much more. But they, too, were paid $20. They protested. "Those fellows worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as those who worked all day in the scorching heat. Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't you agree to work all day for $20? Take it and go. It is my desire to pay all the same. Is it against the law to give away my money if I want to? Should you be angry because I'm kind?" And so it is. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. 1973, the publication of this particular Bible. $20 is pretty accurate. You know, what's interesting about this parable in the time of Jesus is this is so normal. Right? People with their tools are going into town and they're waiting. Why are they waiting? They're waiting for somebody to hire them. Why is that? Because they need money to buy food. Right? We need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. The worker probably has a family. He's got to feed more than himself. And so he goes to the marketplace. I mean, this is like Indeed, right? Boom, here I am. Put me to work. Let's go. a little different today. $20, 1973. In 1938, FDR put into act the Fair Labor Standards Act, which started to really help America in some of its not so good practices of labor. You know, we had child labor, right? Now, do we have a problem with labor today? Yeah, we do. And part of it is because some people just don't want to work. So in 1938, heck, a day's wage was what? Probably a quarter. I got you some stuff. Whether you want to say a denarius or a drachma or a dollar or a pound, it's a day's wage. That's what we're dealing with in the text. In 1974, the minimum wage was $2.30. In 1974, 1 year after our $20 a day, it went up to $3.35. The minimum wage now is $7.25. There are three states in America that have an over $15 an hour rate. The $7.25 rate is federal. And you have to, if you don't, if your business doesn't exceed, I think, $500,000, then you're not liable. I mean, there's some states that are still in the $5 range. That doesn't sound right, does it? That's not fair. Labor unions. People have joined together to fight against the owners who have been unfair. And then it seems like the scale has sometimes gone to the other side where the unions are just dictating everything. So now there's laws that you don't have to join a union. Athletes are paid out of the moon. Years ago, they were fighting to get a good wage because the owners were making all the money. 1919 Black Sox scandal. You go look up on that. Why did that happen? Because the owners were making all the money. If a duck quacks, it's a duck. Timing. See, timing. You're right. You know, let's just say, for the record, that this parable is not about economic justice or income equality. This parable is about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out and said, "Do you want to go work in my vineyard?" Let me tell you something. Grace is not fair. Grace is not fair. I'm going to say it again because you're probably struggling with hearing what I'm saying. Grace is not fair. You see, grace is not fair because we don't deserve it. Grace is not fair because we did not earn it. Give us this day our daily bread, right? Our daily wage. right? But we don't earn the wage of salvation. That's a gift from God that we receive by faith. When we talk about fair, the landowner was fair because he gave those who worked for him what he told them he would pay them. Grace is not fair. You know, sometimes we think that we really have earned what we have. We work hard, but at the end of the day, God's grace is not fair. It's a gift. And the question is, are we going to receive it? You see, it's just like this, right? I want you to go back and think. The kingdom of heaven is like the landowner. And what did he do? He went out into the marketplace. He went out and he said, who wants to work for me? And he went out again at 9 o'clock. And he went out again at noon. And he went out again at 3. And he went out again at 5. And sometimes we just think, my gosh, it's not fair. I've been here all my life, just like the older brother in the prodigal son story, right? What did Dad say? Hey, all you had to do was ask. We'd have had a party a long time ago. But your brother was gone and he was lost, but now he's found. You see, marvelous grace, infinite grace, matchless grace. Why is that? Because yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, the love of God. That's grace. And Paul says, my grace, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. And that's all we need. And God asks us, Jesus reaches out and he says, hey, do you want to go work for me? Do you want to be a kingdom builder? Do you want to go work in my vineyard? You know, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do we want to join Jesus on this journey of grace and mercy? You know, it's just like, But God, who is abundant in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace, we are saved. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches. The immeasurable riches. You see, the landowner, God Almighty, through Jesus, he's got it all. He has all. There is no lack of supply. He's got enough to give everybody. So, his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, for by grace you are saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. We can boast about our work all day long, right? This parable is not about income equality. And now, I just want to reach back just for a second. In Leviticus 19, The Lord spoke to Moses. He says, speak to the Israelite community and tell them, be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And he says stuff like this. A lot of this stuff is going to be familiar, okay? These are called laws of holiness. Each of you is to respect his mother and father. You are to keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols. Don't make idols. We'll jump down to 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave the stuff on the ground so the poor and the traveler, the foreigner, can come through and pick it up. That's gleaning. You must not steal. You must not act deceptively or lie to one another. You must not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord your God. You must not oppose or oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages due a hired hand must not remain with you until morning. The landowner said, come pay the people their day's wage. But you see, we're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace. Now check this out. Within this same context of Scripture, you must not hate your brother in your heart, rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God. Be holy because God is holy. And by his grace, we may be righteous, but only by the blood of the Lamb. And the longer we work for the Lord, the sweeter it gets. Don't begrudge the labor. Enjoy the work until the master comes back to get us. Okay? Grace is not fair. It is a gift from God. Fair, firm, and consistent? Maybe not. God is fair. Grace is not fair. It's a gift. Amen.